Now, speakers this morning probably need an introduction, but I wasn't going to. One of them said, I can't remember which one, said, of course, you can introduce like you do with normal speakers. But so here we have Nick and Jono. I think the first time they've brought a message, and it's going to be a shared or a team effort, twin effort, as it were. So I just want to pray for them both. You stay where you are if you want. You can come up. Up to you entirely. Probably individual, and one of you wanted one. No, that's fine. I'm going to pray for them both as we hear what they've brought. Father God, thank you for their hearts to share what it is that they know of you. And Lord, as they have done this completely unscripted, as it were, no input from anyone, this is what you have put on their hearts to bring. Father, I just thank you for the encouragement that oozes from this place. And I thank you that they will know that as they bring your word, whatever it is that you have put in, none of us have heard this before, that they would be encouraged and we in turn would be encouraged. Father, we thank you for this opportunity for them to bring in front of their peers and in front of us the church that you have placed them in. Be with them as they bring your word. Amen.
Be a blessing, Lord.
Amen. Right. Come on up, Nick. Wonderful. Good.
Imagine this rope. Okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on Earth. You've got a few short years here on Earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save so I can really enjoy this part right here. You're consumed with that, and you're thinking, oh man, am I gonna get to travel? Am I gonna eat well? Am I gonna do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about this? What about that? What about all this stuff? That's just, it's crazy to me, because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm gonna exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm gonna live my life for this mission. I'm gonna spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm gonna forget about all the stuff I could enjoy, and I'm not gonna look around. I'm gonna be like a runner, just looking at that moment when I face God, because when I face him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth. And it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And you see, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I go, no, you're stupid because it's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious. I look at the way people live, and I go, wow, that is so crazy. You are so crazy. You're going to do that right now, just to enjoy right now, not even knowing if you have tomorrow, and you think that's smart and that I'm dumb?
Think about those last couple lines. Time is short, eternity is not. Now think about eternity. It goes on forever. In fact, sometimes it hurts my brain to think about it. Like, everything on earth will end, and it will come to a stop one way or another. Your house will eventually disappear. Your cars will eventually disappear. And this one was directed at my mates who didn't actually show up. Your bikes will eventually disappear. But what doesn't have an ending is eternity and us. Life is short. When we die, we don't just disappear and be forgotten about. Our heart doesn't just stop beating and we don't exist anymore. No, we don't end. In fact, what we just experienced, our life on earth, that was just the beginning. No, it wasn't even the beginning. Picture it like this. It's like when you go to the movies and you see the movie trailers before the movie. That's the beginning of the movie experience, but you haven't even got to the good or important part yet. Except, of course, the movie never stops and it goes on forever. That's how short life on earth is compared to life in eternity. The reason I think we can't get our minds around the idea of eternity is that everything we have ever experienced and will experience on earth has an ending. Every time you have a meal, there's an ending to that meal. Every time you come to church, there's an ending to the church service. We know that one day our lives on earth will end, so we expect everything to come to an end. But eternity doesn't. The biggest number I know of is Googleplex. So there's a number called Google, and it's 1 with 100 zeros following, which looks like this. Sorry, can you do it, Andy? So that's Google, and it's massive. And Googleplex is the number 1 with that amount of zeros following it. And so if I was to live for Googleplex amount of years, that would only be a tiny fraction of eternity. There's a name given to the fear of eternity, actually, which is apeirophobia. I can see why it's a fear. So basically, eternity is very, very, very long. Throughout the Bible, it talks about eternity and eternal life. The well-known verse, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." John 5:24 says, Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It mentions eternal and everlasting life lots of other times in the Bible and talks about what the reward for Christians is. So what is the reward? The reward is heaven, a place where Christians go after they have finished living here on earth. Heaven is the place Christians will go for eternity. In Revelation, it talks a lot about heaven and its streets that are paved with gold and how the gates are made of pearl and the walls are made of precious jewel. Revelation 21:4, it says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Later in verse 8 it says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. Or as we know it, hell. Hell is the worst place that there could ever be, worse than anything you could possibly imagine here on earth. Eternal pain and suffering in a place where fire will burn forever. Sometimes I think of hell and I'm like, I have friends that aren't Christians at the moment, and they, like anyone else, could die at any moment and would spend eternity in hell. I hate thinking about that, and that's why they need to know the truth. Non-Christians will spend eternity, time that will never stop, in hell, all because they never had faith in God or they wanted to make their life on earth as fun and enjoyable as possible. Now, don't get me wrong, having fun and enjoying life is fine, but you can do this without having to ignore God and do whatever you want and sin. I'm a Christian and I enjoy life. In fact, part of what makes life enjoyable is being a Christian and knowing God is always there, even when you're not thinking about him. So why do people go to hell? I mean, there are some non-Christians that live a pretty good life and don't do anything really bad, and they're nice to others. There are some non-Christians that are super generous, might help the poor and run charities. But the truth is, everyone, no matter what, sins. And you might think, telling a little lie isn't as bad as killing someone, But in James 2:10, it says, For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Pretty much what this means is if you commit one sin, it's still a sin and it's just as bad as the others. So if you run a charity and help the poor, but don't ask for forgiveness, you will get the same punishment as a murderer, which is in hell. However, if a murderer was to murder half a country, then become a Christian, he or she wouldn't be punished. The key to being saved is Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If heaven is such an amazing place and you live for eternity there, and hell is unimaginably horrible, then why do people still sin on earth? I think it's for these reasons: greed and selfishness. People can be so greedy and selfish. They want the latest iPhone, they want designer clothes, they want everything new and everything that will make their lives a bit more comfortable. All they think about is themselves. They're so caught up about themselves, they have no room in their mind to think about others. And without thinking, telling a lie to make others think that they're better than they actually are, or insulting someone as a joke just to get a few laughs, and then they get all this attention, and then they're loving it, and it continues, never stops. Then they live their life sinning, they die, and they go to hell. That sucks. People like that need to meet God and ask for forgiveness and stop sinning. Take a look at this. There were more graphic pictures of hell, but I didn't want to show them here. I can't think of anything on earth that could possibly be worth it for going to hell. But it's so easy just to make a few right choices, repent, and let God into your life. So what do we need to do? Most non-Christians think that life is only as long as they live. So they spend their life trying to become rich and become good-looking and live in a big, tidy home with fancy cars and a nice view, get married, have kids, etc. But as Christians, we should be spending our time on earth telling people about God, spreading the gospel and warning them that if they continue to live for money and life's luxuries, they will go to hell for eternity. We need to let them know the truth. But if they spend their life living for God, they will go to heaven for eternity. And that the simple truth is, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved and go to heaven for eternity. Thank you.
Right, to start off my message, could I please have a helper? Just someone to help me carry things? Yes? Sweet, thank you. Thank you too. All right, so basically, a few weeks back, Dad made me climb up this ladder, and then he moved across or something, and I fell to the ground, and it was quite painful. So this morning, we're going to start with making Dad do the same thing. So. Sweet. Thank you, Dad. We just want to... We can fix it up later. Basically, can anyone tell me what I just did there? What was that called? Revenge. There we go. So this morning I'm going to be talking about revenge and how it plays such a massive part in society, and how we do it so much, and lots of us without realizing. So to start off, I'm going to talk about a few examples of how common it is. And the first one starts in the Blackie fam with Nicholas Blackie. And basically, on Monday, I went into Nick's room and wanted to spend some bonding time with him. So I jumped on his bed and started talking, and he's like, "Jono." And I was like, "Yeah." He said, "Get off my bed, please." And I said, "Nah." And then he said, "I'll go steal your chocolate." So he went into my room and started going for my chocolate. So that's an example. I'm not sure if that's blackmail or revenge, but I don't know. But another example was also in the Blackie fam, and was also Nick. And basically, I wasn't really part of this, so if it involved Luke, Liv, and Nick. So if I say something wrong, just correct me. But basically, it was Wednesday night, I think, and what happened was Nick and I had gotten to bed, and I was lying in bed still awake, and I hadn't got to sleep yet. And Nick was sleeping in his room, so he was fast asleep, and Olivia and Luke were upstairs, and they were yarning quite loudly. So they decided to laugh away and be quite noisy, and then they decided to bring the conversation downstairs and started, you know, yarning away in the hallway. And this woke Nick up. And then Luke decided that he would open Nick's door and go into his room and then say hi to Nick. And basically, this wasn't really bothering me. I was already awake, so they didn't wake me up. But then I started hearing some arguing coming from down the hallway. So I went into Nick's room, and it turns out Luke had videoed Nick's reaction to the whole thing and sent it off to all his mates. And, of course, Nick was not very happy with this. So he shut the door and went back to sleep, and we all went back to our bedrooms. And the next day, Nick was telling me what he'd done to get Luke and Liv back for waking him up. And basically, about 2 years back in Australia, we went to this toy store or something, and we saw a remote control spider. And it's this way, I have it here actually. And it looks pretty realistic. And basically, we've had this for quite a while, and where we've played pranks on each other. And basically, Nick decided he'd put this on Luke's window so that when Luke woke up, he would open the curtains and get a big fright. And basically, that was another example of how often revenge happens. But that's not the main part of this. The part was Luke obviously still didn't think it was fair after he had saw the spider. So he didn't actually know it was Nick that put it on his window. So Luke decided to continue it, and he put it under my bed sheets, even though I didn't do it, but he thought it was me because Nick and I are pretty similar. And basically, that's just the example of how it just keeps on going. And it's like that with a lot of cases where people just don't stop, and they keep doing something to them. That person thinks, "Hey, he did that to me. I'm going to do it back to them." And and it can be small stuff. So for example, I wrote this down. These are just imaginary people. For example, this guy named Jimmy might punch John in the face one day because he was angry at him for something. And the next day, when they've resolved this, John's off to buy some ice cream for him and his other mate, Tom. And then Jimmy might ask, "Oi, John, where's my ice cream?" And then he says, "You don't get one, you punched me." And so it's pretty, that's just like, it's not massive, like, But it can be bigger, much bigger examples. Like, I thought it is possible for someone maybe to miss out on a job promotion at work. Say, for example, even someone like the boss, maybe. Like the guy that missed out on the job promotion did something to that boss 2 years back, and this boss just always has held on to it forever. And then when it comes to the opportunity where he gets a job offer, he picks someone else over him because he holds on to that thing for ages. So basically, that happens a lot, as you can tell, and I'm sure we all do it, and sometimes we don't always, you know, think it too much. We kind of just think, that's fair, you know, they did that to me, I'll do that to them. But let's have a look what the Bible says about revenge, and I've got a few Bible verses here. So this is 1 Peter 3 verse 9. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. And the next one is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. And the next one is Mark 11, verse 25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And that's quite a good one if you think about it quite deeply. And the last one here is Proverbs 24, verse 29, which is, do not say, I'll do to them as they have done to me. I'll pay them back for what they did, which is kind of what I did at the start. So, what's this? And basically, there are heaps more. There are so many Bible verses on revenge. And it's very clear what the Bible says about it, and that we should, how we should not do it. But we seem to, as people, just naturally think, you know, they did it to me, I'll do it to them, and try to even things out. But basically, I was thinking, what is revenge? Why do we have it? And I was thinking, revenge is a lack of forgiveness. So if you think about it, if Nick had just forgiven Luke and Liv for waking him up that past night, the spider thing would never have happened. And same with, you know, every single example of revenge. If people would just forgive each other, then it never happens. But basically, the reasons for revenge in society is, just like I was saying before, it's just accepted as the right thing to do. And I've got a video clip of an example of revenge, and how everyone just around the world just thought it was such a good thing to do. But so we just watched that for 2 minutes.
Hello, I'm Carl Stefanovic. Welcome to this special Sunday edition of A Current Affair. And tonight, that video, that single act of retaliation, the moment when a 15-year-old boy said, enough is enough, and finally stood up for himself, taking on those who wanted to take him down. That boy is Casey Hynes, bullied for much of his life, a hero to millions tonight. This is his story.
He just came up out of nowhere and grabbed me by the shirt. And then he punched me in the face. Then he goes for a second hit, I blocked it. And third hit, I don't know if he connected, and then fourth and fifth, tried to hit me. And then I actually snapped and grabbed him, picked him up off the ground, threw him to the ground in self-defense.
He's the boy who stood up to a bully.
I was just looking at him. I wasn't really thinking. I was just like, yay, finally, it's over.
After a lifetime of torment and abuse, finally Casey Hynes fought back. The moment captured in a 40-second video clip that was posted online. It spread like wildfire, and within hours had been watched by millions of people, turning this 15-year-old Aussie schoolboy into a worldwide hero.
But I saw this story that just kind of touched my heart.
All right, little kid punching him, and then suddenly the big kid had too much, and boom!
Ooh. He was they weren't fighting. He defended himself. If that was my son, I go, you do it again.
Everybody on this planet who has seen your video is in your corner. Casey, you're a man, okay? And I salute you.
Why do you think that's so...
Yeah, so you can see what happened there, and it's quite interesting how at the end you saw all the responses, and they called him a hero, and he was labeled a hero, and everybody said he did the right thing, and he was inspiring, and so we looked at this. I saw this video in health class because we're looking at a bullying unit. And basically, when the teacher asked for what we thought of the video, about maybe 75-80% all said he did the right thing by, you know, his reaction to that. And only about 20% of the class actually started thinking about the other guy, like, do we actually know the full story? But basically, you can see how most of the people in my class thought it was the right thing to do. And revenge is the right thing to do if someone wrongs you. So if you just think about that next time you want to, you know, plan revenge on someone if they do wrong to you, and think about just the impact it has in the world, because it's the cause of many wars and disagreements and, you know, friendships breaking and stuff like that. But that's me done. So I'll hand it over to whoever's coming up next. Huh? Okay. Sweet. Thank you.